Am I on?
You are now.
Okay.
Now, do you want this?
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Do you want to stand up there?
Well, I don't care. I just do what I'm told. Well, on Tuesday, we're going to celebrate 69 years. So now you know why I just do what I'm told. Of course, I'm hard of hearing. Well, God's good. And Nancy, you want to say hello? She's not quite as... We were at Utica at a church last night for a mission conference there. So we got up before breakfast and headed out. God's good, isn't he? Amen.
Yes.
I'm thankful for the grace of God. And we certainly never dreamed of doing what we've been doing. And I was in Tanzania earlier this year and heading back here in a few weeks. And planning on another trip for June. I'm still waiting to decide what I'm going to do when I grow up. Of course, some think I never will. But, you know, the thing is, we're workers together with him.
Yes.
And when we stand before God, it's not a question, did you go to the mission field? The question is, did you do what I asked you to do? And whether it's being a janitor or a missionary, that's the issue is, are you doing what God wants you to do? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thankful. And just share, you know, it's always good to see some fruit of your labors. We first went to Tanzania in 87 and we said, well, we'll go for a couple of years and see what happens. And we're still waiting to see what's happened. Since then, I've been in at least 30 countries.
Wow.
Four continents, almost all the way around the world. My one daughter, youngest daughter, she says, when Dad gets to heaven, he's going to say, Jesus, what's on the other side of that mountain? So, maybe won't be any mountains there, I don't know. But God is good, you know. The bottom line is, we never know how much time we have. The important thing is to be ready when he says it's time. Nancy, she doesn't travel quite as much as she used to. She's a couple of years ago, she broke a vertebrae and crushed a vertebrae in her back. And that makes it a little hard to maneuver. But I tell her I'm not swapping her. So she's going to have to get over it. And also, she's been having some problem with her eyes. Of course, I said, you had those problems 69 years ago. But mine were okay. They're still pretty good. Yeah. Well, praise God. We heading back next month, I guess I'm heading back. Sometimes I forget you know, where I'm at, what I'm going where. But I'm taking my nephew this time, young Dan Larkin. So they're not quite sure he's my namesake. His mother was Nancy's sister and his father was my brother. So they're not sure if Tanzania can handle two Dan Larkins. But he asked if he could go, and I said, well, I'm looking for a teacher. He said, well, I want to teach. So, and also be there for a graduation. They only do the graduation about once every 3 years, and I've been asked to be both the guest of honor and the main speaker at graduation. It'll probably be my last one. They only do it every 3 years. Yeah, I'm not being too dogmatic on when my last is. And Lord willing, I'll be there again next June. Right. And it'll either be my last one or one of my last. So I just want to keep going as long as he wants me to go. And, you know, it's good to see some fruit of your labors. One of my recent trips, I was over there, I met up with a fella. He was our house worker. He was married at the time, had two or three girls, and he was married, and we started the Bible school. He wanted to go to Bible school, and we worked it so he could go, and today he's a bishop.
Wow.
Another one of our house workers is in full-time ministry. And so it was always good to see some fruit, you know.
Yes.
And then, you know, we God sent us to Bosnia-Herzegovina. And my first time there was when the war was on, and they were actually shelling in the city I was in, but I knew God had called me there to make the trip, and people talked about the danger, but I said, it's safer there in God's will than it is here out of it.
Yeah.
And one of a young lady I met there on my first trip, actually she lived back out in Croatia, along the Dalmatian coast, and that's where Titus went to,
right.
The Dalmatian coast. In fact, there's one city there where there's a sign just outside the city where it believed that he actually was. Mm-hmm. So we've seen some history. And anyway, she was, we were doing a home group there, staying at her grandmother's. She was young lady was only 18 years old, just finishing her high school. And she was my interpreter. I was the first one she ever interpreted for. I'm not sure what she preached on. But anyway, we built a relationship. And she got out of high school and she went to a Bible school over in Croatia. And her and some other girls pioneered a church. And then later she was out of that, and she came to me one day and she said, I really feel I should go back to Bible college, but I want something a little more spiritual. And so I got her into Elam. And just before she went to that, there was the general superintendent and the general secretary of a large denomination here in the States was over there, and we were meeting together. And the general secretary said to her, to this girl's name is Vanya, said, you know, why don't you come to our school? And she said, well, I feel God wants me to go to Elam. So he said, here's my card when you get through with Elam. Come to ours and get your degrees. Well, that sounded good, but when she went to do it, she could go there for $18,000 or $20,000, plus room and board. They offered her nothing. And at the time, I felt she ought to go to Liberty. Not Liberty, but Regent. Elam had a good connection at the time, and so she applied there, and lo and behold, it was the same story. But I'd been down there a little bit before that, and I'd met the registrar. We had a grandson going there, and I met this registrar. You know, we probably had a two-minute conversation, but I'd met him. And so I contacted him. I forgot whether I wrote him a letter or called him or what, but he finally said, well, we'll give her a half a scholarship and she'll have to pay her room and board. And well, it's this way. I felt God wanted her to go there. And so I had a few chats with him. And ended up, she got a full scholarship. She could work on campus for room and board. Today she works for CBN. She's the overseer. She works for all of the Balkan countries. She is their representative.
Wow.
For all of those countries. And you never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then we started a Bible school in Bosnia. It was actually the first known Protestant Bible college in that whole country. And before their civil war, there was less than 100 known Protestant believers,
wow,
as far as they knew. God was working. And we started a school there, and of course nobody was saved very long, so you got new converts. And I got a little criticism some because I'd let the new ones in. But I figured this, God sends them, we'll see what we can do. And if you wait till you mature, it may be too late. But as one fella, he was probably in his mid-20s, and he was married, had a little girl. And they had left the country, actually, when the war started, because he didn't want to fight. But he was back then, and we knew his mother. She was a godly woman. They were all Orthodox background. And he'd only been saved just a few months, and he wanted to come to the Bible school, and I said, come. Like I said, some got criticized, but you do what you feel. And I got a newsletter from him recently, and he'd pastored a church up in Sarajevo for a number of years, and then he got connected in with some ministry out of England, and now he's traveling all over Europe and the British Isles, and even been to the States teaching and training pastors. So you never know what's going to happen. Amen. God is good. And we're just thankful to be a part of what God's doing. I say you never want to get too proud about God using you, because remember, he used a donkey to speak to a prophet. So, who are we? Amen. So, I'm grateful we've been able to be a part of what God is doing in these. And whether we go or stay, we are workers together with him. And that's the thing, you know. Whether we go or stay is not the issue. But I said, Lord willing, I'll be heading back to Tanzania here in November. I got a trip planned for next June, I think it is. Well, the thing we've been doing for the last number of years is taking pastors and church leaders over. They go, take them over. They do teaching in the schools. The schools are set up where each week that they're there is a different subject. So we can bring in leaders from other countries and other places and teach. And I've taken 25 or 30 pastors and teachers over the last number of years. And literally, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars has been channeled into the ministry, into schools and other ministries over there. And so that's been actually the main focus I've been doing the last number of years. Because reality is, one of these days I'm going to be, it will be my last trip. The family doesn't want me to travel alone anymore. I haven't made any promises, but... And one of these days is going to be the last trip. And I just want to do what God wants. You know, that's the thing is, when he says it's time to quit, that's when I want to quit. So I say, you know, taking some older person, that's nice. But I'm interested in taking those that's got some experience, but they've got a lot of years that they can keep being involved and helping out. And the thing with today's transportation, you can do things that generations before never dreamed of. So, praise God. Hallelujah. We want to give a big thanks to this church, because without people like you, we can't do what we're doing. And so we're workers together. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I want to talk to you a little bit today about last words. You know, the last words that someone says to you can often be very important. Sometimes as parents, you know, parents are going to go away and they have some last words for the kids. Do this and don't do this. Do this and don't do that. And when you come back, you find they got the this and that mixed up. we all understand that one. I'm glad we skipped childhood, aren't you? We didn't do anything like that. Yeah. Like I said, I do what my wife says. I'm just hard of hearing. And Tuesday, we're going to celebrate 69 years of marriage. And did I say that before?
Yes.
Well, I have a right to repeat myself. I say I have an excellent memory. My problem is finding it. Last words are important. Amen. And Jesus had some final words before he left. And in Matthew chapter... I think that's 28. I get these cheaters on here. Matthew 28. And verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make decisions of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end." And his last words were these. He said, "Go to all nations." And when he talks about nations, he's talking about like more like ethnic groups, and it's more than just a country.
Right.
He said, "Go to every place, and baptize the believers." He didn't say baptize babies. He said baptize believers. preach the good news. And the good news is this, that Jesus loves us. And as long as there's life, there's hope. You know, one of the things scriptures I'm thankful for we have is the story of the thief on the cross. Here's a man who wasted his life. And he knew that he deserved what he was getting. But in those last hours or minutes or whatever, he reached out, acknowledged who Jesus was. He didn't have a chance to change his ways. He didn't have a chance to do things that he would like to. But Jesus looked at the heart. And he said, you're going to be with me today in paradise.
Yes.
As long as there's life in a person, there's hope. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important for us. We plant the seed. And you may never get to see the result of what happens with that seed. And that person may be on their deathbed. But they remember that word that you gave them. And they reach out in their last seconds of life, Jesus. He said, come to me. And so I want to encourage you, don't be discouraged when you plant seed, but you're not seeing any fruit out of it right away. Mm-hmm. You do not know when that person will turn to God. Mm-hmm. But as long as there's life, there's hope. Mm-hmm. So go to all people, baptizing. He said, preach the good news. These are his final words. Preach the good news. What's the good news? God loves you. God will forgive you. We have the story of the prodigal son. He wanted to go his own way. And he ended up losing everything. We've had some grandkids that have gone the wrong way. And some of them ended up in places they didn't want to. I remember one of them visiting him in jail. I said this, whether you are guilty of this or not, you're where you are because of the way you lived. He's got scars on his life for the rest of his life. But right now he's doing well serving God.
Good.
And learning some trades. God's good.
Yes.
But there's things that he will regret the rest of his life. But if his heart is right with God, that's the important thing.
Yes.
And then Jesus said, make disciples. And that's a process. You know, total salvation is really in three parts. When you come to Jesus, you are forgiven for the penalty of your sin. You're delivered from that penalty. But as Christians, little by little, we are being changed from glory to glory as he works in us and delivering us from different things that we should not do, changing the way we live. That's an ongoing process as long as we're here. So we are being transformed. We're being saved in these areas. But then when we stand before him, you see, first, when we come to Christ, we're delivered from the penalty of sin. In this life, as we let God work, we're being delivered from the power of sin, little by little. And when we stand before him, we will be saved from the very presence of sin. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Total salvation. But little by little, he's changing us. And so Jesus has given these final words of go, preach, and teach, and make disciples. And that's a process. Our Bible schools have been used to teach and to make disciples. And one of the things in the schools is that it's not only reached the denomination that we worked with, but these schools have brought in people, pastors and leaders from other denominations who had no place to train. And there's been several of those that they have come, they've been inspired, and they've gone back and they've started schools in their own groups using our materials because they saw how it worked. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And in the schools we have more students. We have at least as many students from other groups as we do the one we're with. But you know what? It's meeting the need.
Yes.
And I think that's great, you know. So thank God for that, you know. And we're just blessed to be a part of what God is doing. The Apostle Paul also had some last words. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and Paul is in prison. He realizes that his time on earth here is soon going to be over. And he's been released at other times, but he realized he's not getting out alive again. And he's given Timothy some final instructions, last words. And as I said, you know, last words can be so important. Last words before your parent leaves this earth. Last words from a friend, the last time you saw them and they said this or that. It's sad, but in some families, it's the last time the parent heard the words of a child before they left this world. So last words are vitally important. And Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier in Jesus Christ. And he goes on, no one who engages in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life but he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And he goes on and gives Timothy some last-minute instructions. It's important that we take particular heed to what God says to us, because we don't know when the last time will be. And I'm not talking about being pessimistic. I'm anything but that. I want to be obedient to what God is saying to me today. And it's not a question of whether where we go or any place, but each one of us, it's important that we hear, what is God wanting me to do? What is he saying to me? What is he saying to you? And Paul had, he realized that he'd come to the end. It's in this scripture where he tells about, he said, Demas has forsaken me because he loved the things of this life more than God. He's gone back. Titus has gone to Dalmatia. As I said, we've been there to that place where they believed he was, along the Adriatic coast, and still called the Dalmatia coast. And we've been in one of those dungeons like Paul was in. I think it may have been in Italy. After a while, you forget where you've been. But we were in one of those prisons. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't like today's prisons. There was no concrete floor. Dirt floors. And many of them were chained. They couldn't go very far. That's probably what Paul was. But in the midst of this, his heart was still to leave some last words for those who were staying behind. So I ask you, what are your last words going to be to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, if you have a chance to say something? Are you going to encourage them to look to Jesus? What's going to be your last words to your family? My prayer often is, Lord, help me to finish well. To finish well. I just want to do what God wants me to do for as long as he wants me to do it. And the greatest thing we can hear from God when we stand before him will be, well done. You did what I wanted to do. It's not where we go. It's not how it looks from the outside. But are we doing what God wants us to do? Are you doing what God wants? We have to remember this, that our actions will always speak louder than our words. The old saying, your action speaks so loud I can't hear a word you say. I want to finish well. And Jesus' last words, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. And Paul echoed those words. Again, we want to say thank you for being a part of Bosnia, Herzegovina, Tanzania, because we've all had a part in it. Amen. Nancy, do you want to?
I would like to explain one of the reasons we wanted a school to train pastors, especially in Tanzania. So many times, somebody from some tribe would hear some speaker that's, you know, been all around the world. They go, they hear the word, and they get saved. They go back to their tribe or their home, and they begin to share that, but that's all they know. We've had, found out that there was one place that the pastor said, women will be saved in childbearing. So girls were out having babies so they could get me saved. Things like that. You know, they're reading the Bible, they're seeing what says, but they don't understand. So there are things pastors need training in those situations, so they know how to rightly divide the word of God. And so that's one of the reasons we have started the work in Tanzania.
We were doing a family marriage seminar. It was out by Lake Victoria, and towards the end of the week, a pastor raised his hand and said, is it okay to beat your wife? Which is, in some tribes, it's quite common. So I insisted that he answer the question of what two ways the Bible says a man's supposed to love his wife? Well, as Christ loved the church. What's the other way? Well, he loves the wife as himself. I said, do you beat yourself? He said, no. I said, why not? You do a lot of foolish things. I said, when you beat yourself, you can beat your wife. I figured she was safe. Then some woman asked, if children are a blessing of the Lord, why is it the people from the West come here and talk to us about birth control? Well, that's a good question. You know, especially when we have eight. But most all of them, they have their little farms. They call them a shamba. That's where they grow their food and stuff. And so, you know, I find this a lot of times, you don't plan it ahead of time, but God just gives you something. And I said, how many of you got a shamba? And they about all raised their hand. And I got them down, okay, what is a good-sized shamba? And they all agreed about 15 acres. Well, I said, well, wouldn't 200 be better? Oh, no. I said, why not? We couldn't take care of it. I said, well, that's the way it is with families. But they could understand it. But I'll tell you what, those things, you just trust God to give you wisdom at the time. Amen. Amen.
But we had one woman raise her hand and say, I'm one of seven wives. Am I able to be in ministry with women? How do you answer something like that?
Yeah. We said talk to the elders of the combination. There's some things, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. But God, well, there's men here that's had seven wives, one at a time or two at a time. You But I've just had one. Okay, well, God bless you. Thank you very much.